My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Boom. Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Surprise!
Surprise episode! Yes. We felt really bad for not giving you an episode, so we're going to keep up. Surprise!
Yeah, we wanted to get back on track since we skipped a week, so we're giving you a double feature week.
Exactly. And also, you know, there's so many episodes in this freaking season. We're not going to be done until, like, maybe ever.
That was the main reason. I was like, it just puts another week until we get to the bad episodes, and I need to get there sooner.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point.
I can't wait for some bad episodes.
Especially, like, the middle of the road episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't. Like, either make it be a banger or make it be terrible. I'm sick of these middle-of-the-road episodes,
certainly.
You know?
Certainly. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think this episode is a middle-of-the-road episode, but we can get into that later. Okay, but hey.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a Gleek.
My name is Ian Allred, and I am a Gleek.
Wow.
Whoa.
Ian, how are you? How is Salt Lake treating you?
Wow. It's cold. So I moved from visiting Houston straight to Salt Lake. I did not go back to Arizona at all.
Jeez.
So all the clothes I have are the clothes that I was supposed to have for a 2-week trip to Houston. And so I have warm enough clothes.
Do you need really me to bad. Run down to Scottsdale and send you up some clothes?
I'm going to eventually. Just the thought process of flying to Scottsdale and then driving 12 hours back is so awful that I keep putting it off.
So is your car is still in Scottsdale?
Yeah. Everything is still in Scottsdale.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's why my beard looks like this, because my razor is still in Scottsdale. Oh. Oops. Yeah.
Jeez. Also, your hair is absolutely so long.
I know, but that's not because of this. That's because I got my hair cut the day before everything shut down. Like, I got on a Thursday, and by Monday, the entire country had shut down back in March. And so I couldn't get my hair cut for a while because salons weren't open and, like, hairstyling places. And by the time they opened up again, I was like, but I kind of want to see how long it can get.
I love that. I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah, it's a visual representation of how long the pandemic has gone on for.
Wow.
So maybe I'll cut it when this is all over.
Yeah. Someone tagged you in some things from your stint in Disney World, and your hair was so short and you had a mustache.
Right?
I don't think it was when you were... It wasn't when you were working.
No, that's when I was visiting.
But I was like, who is that man?
That was my Tom Selleck phase. That was exactly 1 year ago.
Hear me out. I liked your Tom Selleck phase.
Thank you.
I dig the stash on you. I think it's funny.
My old roommate's wife tagged me in that because they met at Disney World and they got engaged. They dated and got engaged while they were working there. And I went and visited them while they were still dating. And so she posted it and tagged me in it. And then I reposted it on my story. And someone responded, in all sincerity, you legit look your best with this stash and hair.
Straight up, you look really great.
The reviews are in.
It's dapper as hell.
My Tom Selleck phase was my best phase, I guess.
It's a good phase.
And this dirty hippie phase isn't doing it.
I'm ready to talk about some Glee.
All right, let's hit up some ballad.
Let's talk about ballad, the episode. So, did you know?
No,
that Glee episode 10 ballad premiered on November 18th, 2009. And did you know that that is the day before my husband, Adam Driver's birthday?
Oh my gosh.
I know.
This episode was a birthday present to Adam Driver.
I know it was. So this episode was written and directed by Brad Fulchek. Interesting, right? And let's talk about some little glacky glacks. So here's the songs in the show. There are a lot of songs this week. A lot of songs. Interesting, right? So we have Endless Love, originally by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross, performed by Rachel and Will. I'll Stand By You by The Pretenders, performed by Finn. Don't Stand So Close to Me / Young Girl by The Police / Gary Puckett and The Union Gap, respectively. Will. Crush, Jennifer Page, Rachel. You're Having My Baby, Paul Anka and the Odiah Coates. Is that what it's called? I don't know. Performed by Finn.
I didn't do glacks.
Yeah, I know. You know, if I was any better at this job, I would Google how to perform, I would Google how to perform, how to pronounce some names. And then we have...
I don't either.
Names are so hard. And I know that because I have a weird name and no one can read my name, so I get a pass. And then we have Lean On Me by Bill Withers, performed by The Whole New Directions. Okay, so during You're Having My Baby, Diana could not stop laughing to the point where Corey kept forgetting the song because they had to look in each other's eyes, right? And he had to stop and redo it a million times because he was ruining takes because he was singing to her and she kept laughing and the camera was just on him and he couldn't remember the words at all. Isn't that funny? And then the Lean On Me scene was actually the first time that Diana and Corey had seen that performance. They knew that they were singing that song, but they were they weren't allowed into any of the rehearsals. So it was actually their first reaction seeing them perform it. Isn't that so sweet?
That is really sweet.
I know.
I saw that. I was watching Lean On Me on YouTube when we started this podcast and someone had commented that and I straight up thought they were lying. So it's nice to know they're telling the truth.
I mean, it's true on the Wikipedia page, so.
I trust Glee Wiki. They could tell me anything and I'd be that's what happened.
I was thinking today while I was preparing the glacks, I was wow, I wish there was a way that we could see if any of these facts were true. Because honestly, any of these a-holes could go in and write anything and we would read it and put it on this podcast. And that is not very good journalism of us, but.
And if anyone knows anything about Lena and I, it's that we want to be journalists.
Yeah, it has always been my secret dream.
If we look unprofessional on this podcast, our careers in the toilet.
Our careers are over.
Yeah.
Our credibility is in the toilet. Wow. Next glack. Okay. Did you know that this is the episode that Glee as a TV show submitted for Diana Agron for the Emmys for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series?
Honestly, I stand by that. She's very good in this episode.
I know, but the thing that is weird to me is lead actress in a comedy series.
Yeah. But I would agree that she's a lead.
Yeah, I guess so.
But the second half of this season, in no way is she a lead.
Yeah, and maybe just as someone who knows the rest of the show, thinking about Quinn as a lead is weird to me. I don't know. Unfortunately. Well,
it's because after this storyline, they never knew what to do with her, so.
Like, you, she just kind of faded. Jeez. But unfortunately, she didn't get the nomination. I guess I don't really understand how the Emmys work. So I guess just, like, the producers of the TV show, like, submit episodes to, like, the Academy, whatever it's called. The Guild? I don't know.
I think the actors themselves will be like, I want to be nominated. And then if the producers agree, and then I think they come to a consensus on what episode. Like, the actors, to my knowledge,
we know that
a say in it.
Yeah, and we know that, what's his, fuck it,
Matthew Morrison?
Matthew Morrison submitted his own Emmy nomination.
Mashup, yep.
What a turd. Okay, so did you know that in the UK, this episode is actually called Balance instead of Ballad?
Balance?
Yeah, multiple. Interesting, right?
Oh, ballads.
Yeah, like, with an S.
I heard Balance.
Balance. Like,
N-C-E.
Yeah.
And I was like, because the characters have to balance a lot of stuff.
Ballads.
Finn is balancing his pregnant girlfriend and his school assignment.
He does do a lot of balancing. Well, yeah, he does do a lot of balancing in this.
And there is that high wire scene where they have to, like, balance and walk across it. So that would make sense.
My favorite scene in this entire episode,
honestly,
truly.
That scene should have gotten Diana Agron on the Emmy.
That's what I was just thinking. Like,
did you see that tight wire act she did? How could you not nominate her? Wow. She has such great balance.
Wow. Literally, the Emmy Award Guild Academy, whatever the heck they're called. Okay.
We know. We're educated.
Yeah, literally. We know.
We know the committee that runs those.
Television. We run a television podcast, so we legally have to know everything that happens in television.
We're serious journalists, so we would never talk about the Emmys unless we'd done our research about them.
Yeah, why would we ever put information into the world that we didn't know was true?
That's not us.
Next clack. I rest my case. So, every girl that is after Will in this episode has a food-related name. Weird, right? So we have Emma Pillsbury, Rachel Berry, Susie Pepper, and Terry Delmonico. Delmonico is a type of steak. Can we say objectifying women?
Yeah.
Way to go, Ryan Murphy.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine if Gwyneth Paltrow came on and she was like, hi, everyone, I'm Holly Hamburger.
Right.
And they just kept the food motif going the whole series.
Yeah. Hi, I'm April Hot Dog.
April Hot Dog.
Okay, so my last clack is, this is the second time a character has sung two solos in an episode. Finn sings two songs by himself in this episode. Wow. Really taken after his dad. Those are my clacks.
His dad figure?
I was making a joke. I don't know if you've ever heard of comedy, Ian.
I straight up was like, his dad's dead. I've never heard of jokes in my life.
Yeah, I know you haven't.
If someone is telling me something and it turns out that it was untrue, I don't trust them anymore. So I don't trust anything you say.
Oh. Wow.
So everyone, here's what you missed on Glee. All right. Will pairs the Glee kids up to practice. Lena?
Sorry.
I was in
the
zone.
It was just a pause. There was a pause. I felt awkward about it. I'm trying to fill the pause.
I was collecting myself. I was getting grounded.
I know.
I was seeing my partner. I was thinking of my given circumstances.
Who's your partner?
My scene partner is Ian Brennan.
Oh, interesting.
We're having the scene in mind is we're having a recap off. But
you're
the penalty, the penalty is death. So that's why it has high stakes.
The
so
penalty
my
is
super
death?
Objective, my super objective is that I need to do a good enough job on this recap to impress Ryan Murphy, who's the one who will be deciding and killing us.
Wow.
But my objective in this specific moment is to make Ian, I want from Ian Brennan for him to admit that I'm better than he is at recaps. So that's my super objective, and that's my objective. We can go more into my tactics after the recap.
Yeah, I'd love here to like go. Break this down, really scan the text here.
Yeah.
I hate okay. your ass. You're so funny. Did I ever tell you? Sometimes you make jokes, but you're like so deadpan about it that I totally believe you.
My favorite bit I ever do is when I pretend that I don't know what sex is. and so anytime that I'm watching like a movie or I'm watching like a play or a TV show or anything and there's like a very clear euphemism for sex, mm-hmm. I will turn to the person next to me and go, wait, what are they talking about? And like, if it is someone that I don't know very well, 9 times yeah. out of 10, they try to explain it to me yeah. and it makes me
and
laugh.
And since you are Princess
so
of the Celibacy
hard.
Ball, they really do and believe it.
It started when I was in middle school.
Oh,
and I would
that's a
I
pretty
would
mature
my,
bit.
I would do it to my mom to make her uncomfortable.
Oh my god!
If we were ever watching a movie that had like any type of sex joke, and it was a joke because my mom was like pretty protective over what we watched
right.
when we were like kids.
Right.
And so it was my way of kind of getting back to her that I just pretended that I was like so naive. And so anytime we were watching a movie as a family, if it ever like cut to them like in bed mm-hmm. together, like the morning after, I'd be like, wait, what's happening? Why don't they have any clothes on? And I would just continually ask my mom questions about like what they were talking about and all of that stuff. I'm the best. Anyways, here's what you missed on Glee, everyone.
Okay, I won't even. I'm ready for this dropped in performance. I'm quiet. I'm listening. I'm ready.
Will pairs the Glee kids up to practice ballads for sectionals. Due to a missing Matt, he puts his own name in the hat and ends up partnering with Rachel, who quickly develops a crush on him. This concerns Will, since the last student to develop feelings for him ate a spicy pepper and wound up in the hospital. Puck reveals to Mercedes, his duet partner, that he is the father of Quinn's baby. Meanwhile, Kurt helps coach Finn for a dinner with the Fabrays, while subtly also trying to turn Finn off from girls altogether. During said dinner, Finn ends up revealing Quinn's pregnancy and her father kicks her out. Rachel's crush on Will worsens until Susie Pepper, the former crushie, tells her she needs to have more self-respect. To end the ballad assignment, the Glee kids perform Lean On Me for Finn and Quinn to show their support. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Woo! Yay! Wow, what a drop.
Take that, Ian Brennan, to
beautiful
the dungeons with you! Ryan
yeah,
Murphy's sharpening his axe.
Yeah.
Getting ready to chop Ian Brennan's head clean off.
It's death by decapitation? Shh.
Yeah, by... Honestly, it's a pretty humane way to go.
You think?
It hits your neck, you're out instantly.
True. I've seen Game of Thrones.
I haven't.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
All right, what'd you think of Ballad?
Hear me out. I love this episode. I love
okay,
this episode
we agree
so
then.
Much. Okay, good. I was nervous.
When
I'm
you said it
nervous.
Wasn't middle of the road,
oh,
I
no.
thought you were going to be like, it sucked.
No, I think this is maybe one of my, like, you know, I think we both agree that we love kind of a funnier episode, but this episode like yeah. veered into being, you know, more like heartfelt and like dealing with like bigger subjects. But also, I laughed harder in this episode than I have in a while. Like those lines that Finn has, I had to pause the show so I could laugh. I love this episode. I think it is so strong. It's like so, like the strongest I've seen, like Quinn and Kurt and even like Finn. I love it. I'm
also,
so excited.
After a few episodes of not great Rachel content,
yeah,
we finally get prime Rachel again.
Rachel.
Yeah.
Primo
where
Rachel.
she isn't overly unsympathetic, and she
yeah.
also is so funny. But
yeah.
like funny in the fact that you can understand, like, you relate to her and it makes you have secondhand embarrassment.
Exactly, because the beauty of Rachel as a character is she is so intense, but also so relatable. Like, I don't know a person who hasn't, like, I don't know if you've had a crush on your teacher, but, like, just, or like a, I didn't think so. For the kids at home listening, he literally just, like, pursed his lips and went, just shake his head. And I knew you hadn't. But, like, you know, or having just a crush on someone where it's, like, super inappropriate to have a crush on them and, like, building this entire situation in your mind, like, that's something that not a lot of people, I don't know, like, talk about in a... like a way that like makes you feel normal as a kid, but also it does a great job at like making fun of it. So it's like, oh, I've been here. I've been here. But it's also like so funny. Oh my gosh. I love this episode for Rachel. Wow. I love that girl. What did you think? Tell me what you think.
I really liked it. The song wise, there aren't any numbers that stand out, but I would rather have a good, I would rather have a good story and a script that I like over numbers that I like.
I completely agree.
Yeah. And almost all of the script stuff I actually really like in this episode.
So let's get into it. What should we tackle first?
Let's get into it.
I think we should start with the musical numbers.
All right. I don't remember their order.
I have the order right here.
Set it up.
So let's talk about, so up first we have, let's get the hard one out of the way. Let's talk about Endless Love. That's the first song in the episode. Wow. Just a primo moment of Will being a fucking terrible teacher. It brings me so much rage. The fact that he even let himself get into this position is like just, of course, like he's such a bad teacher. Like, I get it. Matt's out of town. Rachel needs a partner. So, like, you know, you got to step in. I totally understand that.
I don't get that. How many times have you been in a class where there's an odd number of students and so the teacher just says, great, you'll be in a group of three? Like, the assignment wasn't duets. It was everyone picks their own song and sings it to someone else.
Every single dance class I've ever been in. This situation is obvious. Like, this is a choir class. Like, this is very different than, like, partnered dancing. I don't know. I see how he got into the situation, but the fact that she picked Endless Love and a red flag didn't go off in his mind, that's how shitty of a teacher he is, especially because he's a young man. Like, he's a young teacher. He should be on the defense. Like, I had a really young theater teacher, and there was like no way he would even let this slide in the slightest. You know,
and a red flag does go off in his mind because she says, let's sing Endless Love. And he goes, I'm not so sure about that. And then Finn's like, come on, Mr. Shu. And he immediately's like, yeah, OK. Like, he even knew that it was weird and was still like, but whatever. Also, just the assignment was that you had to sing a ballad to someone else.
In someone's eyes. It doesn't, my nightmare.
Yeah. My nightmare too.
Literally.
But also, that just feels weird to have a 16-year-old student, like, even before he knew it was Rachel, to be like, one of you 16-year-olds pick a ballad, like a very emotional, probably love song, and sing it into my eyes.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, he should not have picked a duet. Like, once she suggested a duet, he should have been like, no, how about you just sing one as, like, an example?
Yeah.
It's gross. Also, I would love to point out.
What? Tell me.
When Tina pulls a name out of a hat, the name she picks is Other Asian, which we talked about this before. Yeah, that's a joke that always
means
comes back.
Will had to have written that.
Exactly. Will's the one who put the names in the hat.
What a bitch.
Will wrote Other Asian on the piece of paper.
I hate him. But that aside, let's talk about some good moments in this song. The voiceovers in this whole episode are very exciting to me. Very exciting to me. Like, the voiceovers, especially in this song, are amazing. Like, when Rachel's like, usually when he's trying to ruin my career, I don't even look in his eyes. But now I'm looking in his eyes and I feel like I love him. I'm like, what the heck? And then the moment with Finn, where he's like, wow, I've never noticed Rachel's butt before. Oh, I think Quinn's looking at me. And then it pans to Quinn and she's looking. Oh my gosh.
I love the puck non-sequitur. I love the days when I don't wear underwear to school full commando. Just because I love...
You love that wearing underwear.
I love being commando, everyone. No. I love a montage of people thinking about something.
Yeah.
And they're all thinking about the same thing except one person.
Yep, I totally
And that
agree.
One person's mind is like completely somewhere else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that line is so funny. Also, in this song, we do get a pretty good performance by Matthew Morrison of him being really creeped out by Rachel. It does make him look more like a turtle in my eyes. His creep, literally, I was watching it, and every time that he would make a face like, I don't know if we should be doing this, I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, he's a turtle again.
His mouth just gets so tight, like uh-huh. very turtle beak.
And then he'll like, his upper lip will cover his teeth. When he does those faces, it's, I can't. I'm sorry, everyone.
I had to
acknowledge it. I've thought it every episode since, and I haven't brought it up, but it was too strong this time.
Hear me out. You should bring it up every episode. I think that's funny.
Thank you. We'll do a turtle count. All the times that I thought he looked like a turtle.
You're such a bully. I love to hear it.
I was going to say, while we're on the topic of endless love.
Yeah.
I hope this person doesn't listen to this podcast. I cannot imagine they would.
Who?
One time I went to a wedding and
I love
for
the story
father
already.
For the father-daughter dance.
No.
They danced to Endless Love.
That's disgusting.
And they like also kind of sang it to each other. And I was like, I don't think this is the proper song choice.
No.
And the reason, in her defense, the reasoning was that was one of her dad's favorite songs, and so he used to play it in the car when she was little, when she was like six, and he would always sing along to it, and so then she would start singing along to it as well. So, like, that's totally innocent that, like, the dad just liked the song, and when she was a little girl, it would play in the car, and she would sing along to it. So I understand why they decided to do it, but even with the story behind it, I was still like, this is a father and daughter that are like,
yeah.
And I wanna share all my love. It was a little weird.
They didn't like run that by anybody. I would like say something. I'd be like, are you sure that's the song?
I imagine everyone was just like, oh, it's so cute because like the story and you were little and you would sing it together when you were little. But something that you would do with your daughter when she was six and it was cute is creepy when you do it with your daughter and she's 20.
Exactly.
Just a rule of thumb, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's a little life advice from Recovering Gleek, the podcast.
Yeah. If my dad went up to my 27-year-old sister and started tickling her, I would call the police. But when he did that when she was four, it was fine.
Yeah, totally.
There's just a line where you stop doing that stuff.
Yeah. Jeez. I'm nobody's parent, so I don't have the answers to that.
I'm everyone's parent. Hi, kids. So those are my minimal thoughts on Endless Love and some ramblings based on Endless Love. What is next?
I'll stand by you. So this is the song that Finn sings to his sonogram. What are your thoughts?
Here's my thought.
Okay.
Glee does this numerous times where they do something that on paper you can see that it's funny,
mm-hmm.
but just in my opinion, other people might feel differently, they do not lean into it enough for it to actually be funny and it's just awkward.
Yeah. No, totally.
And so Finn singing to the sonogram on paper could be funny, but it's not, they don't like... I don't know. They don't do it enough. It's not made a big enough deal.
Sure.
That instead I'm like, wait, is it supposed to be funny or are they being serious right now? And it just makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, I totally agree. Do you think that is like Corey Monteith's fault or do you think that's like a directional fault?
I think it's a directional because it happens a lot in a lot of different things. Like the thong song is a great example that like she was in Princess Di's dress and it was probably supposed to be funny, but it wasn't.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. Yeah. I like that scene. I think, like thinking back, I remember it and I'm like, yeah, no, totally. That scene was cute. But I'm thinking the part I love most about it is when Finn's mom comes in. Other than that, like...
Classic Carol.
I love Carol. Oh my gosh, Carol in this episode is everything to me. Yeah. You know, it's another Finn singing classic rock song, you know.
They sure cut that thing off real short. That thing is like a minute tops.
Yeah.
Here's my thought about I'll Stand By You.
Mm.
I have heard this song many times, and yet every time I try to sing it, it somehow turns into Faithfully by Journey, and I can't make it go any other way.
I bet you they're the same chords. I bet you they're the same.
It goes, love, why you look so sad? Tears are in your eyes. Come and I don't know the words. They say that the road ain't no place to start a family. And then it just turns into Journey. And I can't figure out how to get back to I Stand By You.
Let's not talk about Journey for too long, but that song is so amazing.
Oh, Faithfully is
one of the best
bop.
Songs of all time, I feel like.
When fighting for dominance against I'll Stand By You, Faithfully wins out every time.
I'm standing
by. It's the one that comes out. I don't know what it is about I'll Stand By You. It also will sometimes turn into Endless Love. That'll be, why you look so sad, blah, 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 blah. And then I'll go, my first love. And then I'll go into Endless Love. It's a gateway song.
Yeah.
It leads me to all different kinds of other
music. You know,
music.
Your mind is a mashup mind. That's what it is.
I guess. Or I just forget how songs go.
Yeah. I completely agree. I like the idea of Finn singing to his sonogram. That's very funny. But also, Carol is the real star of that show.
Mm-hmm.
So then, up next, we have Don't Stand So Close to Me / Young Girl.
This?
Tell me.
This scene sucks.
This scene sucks.
And you know why? Because... Why, if Will is supposed to be like, hey, Rachel, I don't feel the same about you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is inappropriate. And beyond that, I'm not attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's two songs that point that out. And they are two songs that are specifically about older men being into younger girls. And, like, when Rachel says at the end, she says, I'm very young and it makes you uncomfortable when I stand too close to you. And I was like, yeah, no duh that that's the message she got, Will, because that's what the lyrics are.
Yeah.
Literally, the lyrics are temptation, frustration, so bad it makes him cry. Like, the lyrics are specifically about a man who wants to sleep with an underage girl, but knows he shouldn't.
Absolutely. And he, like, the way they cut the song is so weird. They, like, pick the most, like sexual lines from all the songs. Like, he's saying things like, she has all the wiles of a woman, but she's actually a kid and it's hard to remember. Like, I don't know the lyrics. Sorry about it. But,
you're just a baby in disguise.
Literally. That's disgusting. And he's singing it very passionately, which I don't know, in like my clouded judgment mind, sometimes it's hard to see someone who is like being like emotionally intense. It's hard to like decipher what kind of intensity it is. You know, like when your judgment is clouded, and especially when you like someone, especially when you're in love with them, like Rachel says she is. Disgusting.
He truly picked the, like, one of the worst numbers he could have picked.
Absolutely.
It's just like, oh my gosh.
Absolutely. And just like, terrible teacher. The way that he doesn't, like, it takes him an entire week to, like, bring up the courage to talk to this young girl about her being terrible. Hold on. Why is his first instinct to sing that song? He's a terrible teacher. Go on. You can yell at me now.
I understand that point. I do appreciate the Susie Pepper backstory, though. Because if you had this girl... it does make me roll my eyes so hard that Will is just like, too many girls fall in love with me. I don't know what to do about it. Like, everywhere I go, these girls fall in love with me. But anyways, beyond that, if you did have a girl who was like very emotionally vulnerable and very intense.
Yeah.
And when you tried to have like a no nonsense, like, hey, here's the deal. This is inappropriate. It's not going to happen. Like, I need you to call it off. and then she straight up put herself in the hospital.
That's terrible. That's trauma for sure. Yeah.
So I can understand, like, I'm not saying, like, and I love Will, but I do think the writers did a good enough job for me that they told us why he is afraid to have that conversation with Rachel.
Yeah.
Because last time there was someone who was very similar to Rachel and he had that conversation, it ended horribly.
And especially when, you know, like, this is a weird allegory for her getting so upset over this, she hurts herself. Mm-hmm. Which is a very, you're so right. That is a really scary thing. And that's really, like, damaging. And I can't imagine being on the receiving end of someone's threats against themselves. That's really scary. That is really scary. So,
yeah,
you're right.
These songs suck. He picked bad songs, but I don't, I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, no, I guess I understand that. I have never been through that, so. Can't relate. It's so funny to me. And maybe people will disagree with me, but Susie Pepper / Dr. Kepner from Grey's Anatomy. From Grey's Anatomy. Literally, I saw her and I was like, oh my gosh, April. Anyway. But her speech at the end, I was like, wait, why is that too relatable? Like, when she tells Rachel to, like, get her, like, mildly attractive groove back, I was like, whoa. You know, and I understood where she and Rachel both, like, they were coming from, and I felt really bad, because she was saying, like, you're, like, mildly attractive, so, like, you think that anyone giving you any attention is, like, a good thing, / like, you search for attention in the wrong places, and you, like, perpetuate an idea that you're not worthy, but you actually are. I liked that speech. Did you hate that speech?
Mm-hmm. No, I thought that speech was great.
Cool.
Yeah.
I felt so bad relating to that.
Wait. No. I will say that then Will has a speech with Rachel. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, he tries his best and he does a pretty good job. But Susie's speech was better.
I think it's way better. Like, just in, like, go on. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but he says to Rachel, he's like, someday you're going to meet a boy who loves you exactly as you are. And the things that you don't like about yourself, that's what he's going to love the most. Oof. And I wrote in my notes, I don't think that's true.
No way.
Like, I think, like, yeah, to tell them that, like, they'll love someone, like, and I guess, like, if I was, like, I have an annoying laugh, and then I could meet someone that was like, no, I think your laugh is cute, but I don't see a world where my significant other is like, you know, Ian, you know what I love most about you is how you're so indecisive and you can't make a freaking decision.
Yeah.
That is my favorite thing about you. Like, I don't think that's how that works.
Ooh.
Oh, William.
I also just hate that trope that, like, the older, like, just the guy letting the girl down is like, someone's going to love you so much one day. And this conversation is making that all worth it.
Yeah.
I way more appreciated Dr. Kepner's speech to her, because it was all like, you know what, like, you're worth more than, like, chasing after someone who's never gonna love you back. And I appreciated that way more than freaking Will's speech to her.
Will was like, yes, you do need a man's validation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not that man, but someday a man will come and tell you that you're worthy. Whereas Susie was like, it's not going to happen with Will, and that's not a big deal, because you're worth it whether you're with a guy or not. Exactly. So, like, don't worry about it.
That's also a weird thing.
Will.
I feel like I love Rachel so much, and I relate to Rachel on a level that is, like, all of her ambition. But it's hard to watch her, like, let her ambition go by the wayside, at least in the context of the plot of this show, to be super obsessed with all these guys. Like, that sucks. Mm-hmm. I wish, like, because they gave us this, like, rich character that was, like, very emotionally intense and, like, very driven and very ambitious. And, like, still she's, like, very obsessed with boys. And her, most of her plots so far have been about the other boys. And I don't love that.
I see what you're saying. I will counter with so much of Rachel's character is that she is desperate for outside validation.
Oh, I guess so.
That's part of what makes her so ambitious, is because the thing that she's consistently complimented on is her talent. Mm-hmm. And so that's why she's always going after stuff that has her talent so that she can be validated.
Right.
But then I don't think it's out of character that when a guy shows her validation just for like who she is, mm-hmm. that she then, because like she is.
And I don't 16. Think it's out of character. I completely get this. I completely get all of this. But like also, I want to see more from her other than like her chasing Puck, her chasing Finn, her chasing Will. Like,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I complete, like as an emotionally intense girl who whenever I get attention from anybody, I obsess over them. I completely agree with everything. And I don't think it's out of character. I just like, I want to see more from her. I think she's more than that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, I agree.
Okay, cool. You ready to talk about the next song, or do you have some more thoughts?
I don't think so. Let's hit it up!
So, the next song is Crash by Rachel Berry.
the total 30 seconds of it, first two lines
it's
of the
song.
It's
not even 30 seconds. It's so funny. So that's in the teacher's, Will's car. I don't know, are teachers even allowed to drive students in their personal cars? I feel like that's not allowed.
I don't know, but she was in his house.
Yes.
So I mean, he could have been like, I'm going to call your dads to pick you up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he saw her on the side of the road and was like, want to ride home? Like she was in an inappropriate situation with him and he was trying to end the situation.
Yeah. I don't have any
but
thoughts
he definitely
about that.
Could have called her dads.
Yeah, I feel like the appropriate thing is to call her dads.
Yeah. One thing I love in this scene is he makes Rachel sit in the back and then he tells her to put her seatbelt on and she goes, why? And he like, the reasoning is because he doesn't want her to be able to get closer to him. But he says, I'm just concerned for your safety. And then you see that like, she's like, oh my gosh, she cares about me. And she goes, really? And then Will notices and he goes, no, not really.
The writing in this episode is so funny. It is
so funny. I thought that
was
very funny. Also, when she sings Crush, she is doing her own backup vocals.
I know. She's like,
Crush. Yeah.
I was thinking that. I was listening to it. I was like, yeah, how is she getting this like reverb on her vocals right in the car?
I was like, wow. Will says the acoustics in this car are bad, but they sound great. Yeah. Do you hear those backup vocals she's
literally
doing?
She's like got her own like mixing board. Like she's producing her own song. I love that for her. But let's move on. So then we have Finn singing, You're having my baby.
Wow. What a lovely way of telling me that you love me.
Ew.
You're having my baby.
Great
so
job.
When I
You're such a good singer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
When I watched this episode with my mother a month ago, back when I still lived in Phoenix,
those were the days.
Yeah. Back in the old days, that scene was happening, and he went to start singing the song, and he went to turn on the boombox, and as a joke, my mom goes, "You're having my baby." And then that song started, and she was like,
"She's
a
winner."
No! This is what he's actually singing.
That is so funny. That's so funny.
My question about this number is, why are Quinn's parents kind of into it at the beginning?
I think they just think it's sweet. Like, at first, I think they're like, we learn later in the episode that Quinn's mom knows that Quinn's pregnant. But I think both of them have this like idyllic version of Quinn and Finn, especially that like they're the high school sweethearts. Like he's the high school quarterback. She's the head cheerleader. Like they have this idyllic version. So I can imagine that like him singing a song to her in their minds is very cute. And even if it takes them 30 seconds to understand what's happening, they can spend
like
that first
to lyrics.
Yeah, but I'm sure that, like, when do you listen to lyrics? I don't. But like, I'm sure that they were just like, oh, this is like a very sweet moment that like they're gonna share, and you know, we're gonna tell this story at their wedding, you know. But
yeah,
so I get I can understand why they would be into it for the first bit.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
That when Quinn's dad turns the music off and then stands up next to Finn.
He's so short.
It, as a tall man who is frequently intimidated by men half my size, it put the fear of God in me.
Really?
Yeah. No, I know a guy who is probably about his height.
Yeah.
And I've known him my whole life, and he's actually, like, super great. He's very nice. But he is, like, one of the most intimidating people
not
I've
like
ever met.
Not like other short guys we know. Just kidding.
I didn't. Oh, like, they're not great people?
Yeah, like, the way you said it was, like, this guy I know, he's great.
Most short people suck, but this guy's exception. No, no, no. He's very intimidating, but I want it to be clear that he is a great person.
Yeah.
But, like, when he gets angry about something, it's very scary. And it is like looking at Finn and Quinn's dad. I was like, this is what it looks like when he stands next to me. And yet I relate to Finn that this guy's like a foot and a half shorter than you. And you're still like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
So you were saying earlier that in the I'll Stand By You scene, that it's not cheesy enough. Do you think that this song has that same problem, or do you think it's different?
I truly don't know.
Really? Okay.
I think the circumstances
are like very different, but like, you know.
Yeah. I think this song works because in no universe could this be a cute scene.
Yeah.
Like either you think it's funny or you think it's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And how literal the song is makes it more awkward. So I think this song works.
Yeah.
Because it is, every time I watch it, my skin crawls.
Literally.
Also, the fact that Finn just decides that he's going to tell Quinn's parents she's pregnant without her permission.
I know.
It's like, that's not, I like, 100% you should be allowed to tell your own mother.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Quinn shouldn't be getting mad at you about that. But you don't get to decide that you tell her parents without consulting her or even warning her that it's about to happen. Like, my gosh.
It makes me sad that Finn is so, he's so the straight man, and he's so the, like, this is the correct thing to do, and like, we have to be like doing the right thing and like living our truths, that like he has to like do that at the expense of other people. I think that's a real character flaw of his. It does make for good CV though, but good
no,
people
it does.
Wouldn't do
I'm,
that
I'm sure glad he did it, because the scene is riveting.
I know, and honestly
it was a bad thing to
literally
do.
I was like hung. And that scene with Quinn and her parents. Whoa.
My mom, when we were watching this episode, because my mom still hates Glee.
Of course.
Said when we were watching that episode, she said, this show does not deserve a scene this good.
Oh.
Because it is like,
it's really good.
All of the performances do such a good job. As I said, her dad is terrifying.
Yeah. He is so scary.
Diana Agron does such an incredible job, and you feel so bad for her. Her mom does a great job, and you see her conflict. Like, that scene when they're sitting on the couches is such a good scene. And the way it's written is so good.
Yeah.
It is a rare occurrence where there's a dramatic scene in Glee that I think is a fantastic scene.
I know. I completely agree. I was thinking about that this episode. Like, I usually don't love when Glee gets dramatic, but this is, like, all of the dramatic scenes in this. Like, you know, Finn crying in his mother's arms, like Quinn being like, I needed my mom in that moment. Like, and she's crying.
I needed my mom.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing. It's amazing. Wow. What's with this episode? It's so good.
Also, Ryan Murphy loves him an alcoholic wasp mom.
I know. Yes. He loves a wasp
like,
mom.
Yeah. It like freaking Mrs. Schuster was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Mrs. Fabre. Also, as I mentioned before, her dad says Fabre.
Fabre.
Why?
I know.
And
nasty.
Principal Figgins and Wheels also said Fabre. Make up your dang minds. But Mrs. Fabre is an alcoholic.
Yep.
He just loves white middle-aged women who are clearly unhappy and have turned to booze. It's his MO.
I know. I love it on TV though, so I wonder if he has, not to speculate about Ryan Murphy's mom, but maybe that's a bit too far of us, you know, spitting on Ryan Murphy, but maybe his mom was an alcoholic wasp.
Maybe she was a literal alcoholic wasp. Maybe he's half human, half wasp.
For a long time, when people would say wasp mom, I totally didn't understand. I was like, so she's like a wasp?
My freshman year of college, for a directing project, this one guy did a scene called The Wasps, and it was supposed to be like a sitcom, and it was about a wasp family, and it was all just about like, it was like the stereotypical 1950s nuclear family, but like the dad viewed the mom as an object. It was just like pointing out how flawed that concept was.
Yeah.
But the whole time I was like, why do they choose a last name Wasp? And I thought that it was supposed to be making fun of the Partridge family, because I was like, a partridge is an animal and a wasp is a bug. I was lost.
That's funny. For kids at home who don't know what Wasp means, I did a little Google. So Wasp is an acronym for white Anglo-Saxon Protestant mom. And that basically means...
Well, just white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Oh.
And then mom.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestant mom. That's what it is. I thought they would get that, Ian. Jeez. Don't treat the kids like they're dumb.
I'll cut that.
No, it's totally fine. But that basically means that she's white and wealthy and like a basic bitch and like, you know, just like a very Karen-y, like overprotective kind of mom.
Yeah, like... upper middle class,
yep.
White, religious.
Yep. Yep.
Their ancestors come from England. Uh-huh. So they're like white.
Yep. White. Also, oh my God, I was looking at this family. And do you ever see a family full of blondes and feel creeped out?
I haven't thought that. But now that you say it, yeah.
I come from a family of all blondes. And me and my sister.
Was this a setup?
No. What?
For you to be like, how dare you?
No, not at all. Oh my God, not at all. No, not at all. But me and my sister, like, as a person who comes from a family full of blondes, why? Like, why are blondes marrying each other? That's nasty. a little too, you know, a little too Aryan for me is what I was going to say. You know, it's just like creepy. I just feel like creeped out by a bunch of blondes. Just me.
I agreed with you. Okay. I agreed with you earlier.
Okay. All right. The next song. The next song is Lean On Me.
Here's my note about this song.
Okay.
Is that earlier in the episode, Mercedes tells Puck, right before he outs that he's the father, she says, "We're all putting together a ballad to sing to Finn and Quinn." Is Lean On Me a ballad?
I am going to say yes. Because it has a very clear other. It's someone going to someone and being like, hey, listen, I am here for you. And like it has a very clear, like, not narrative so much, but like a very clear, like, communicative, like, this is something I'm communicating to you. And at least in the context of what they're saying a ballad is, I think it is a ballad. I don't know.
Okay.
I kept thinking about, like, during the episode, I was like, do I even know what a ballad is?
I was going to say, I truly have never truly known what a ballad is.
I'm going to do a little Google.
Which, as someone with, oh no, I've Googled it and it hasn't helped.
Oh, shit. Okay, then I won't do a little Google.
It's like, Google just says kind of like, it's a narrative song.
Yeah.
It says a poem or song narrating a story in short stanzas. But then, like, I know a lot of songs that are ballads that don't tell a clear story. But like you said, they do have a clear other.
Yeah.
I have never, it has always been the foggiest definition to me, which I have a degree in musical theater, so you would hope I would know. But
here we are not knowing. I just think ballad is probably a flawed way to describe a song. So maybe that's why I don't. Because especially in the musical theater world, we don't really talk about other... I don't know.
Well, I just have always classified a ballad in my mind is I'm like, it's usually one person. It can sometimes be like two or three.
Mm-hmm.
But like hardly ever is it a group number. This is just like from a musical theater standpoint. And it has... Oh my gosh. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Just like... I don't know what a ballad is.
Me neither.
It is, usually can listen to a song and be like, yeah, that's a ballad, but I couldn't describe it to you. I don't know. Is Lean On Me a ballad? Let us know, everyone. Someone who knows what a ballad is.
Maybe that'll be our midweek poll.
It's a narrative song, or it's a slow, sentimental, or romantic song.
Okay, it's slow and it's sentimental and romantic.
I would not say, I guess.
It's sentimental, at least. It fits one of those descriptions, I think, very well. And it has, I think, maybe not a narrative, but a very clear, like, hey, you're struggling, I'm a solution. You dig?
Yeah. I don't know. No, I agree with you. I'm just getting frustrated because I'm realizing my whole life is a lie, and I don't know what
your whole life. Your whole life.
That was the first thing I learned when I was born. Was I came out of the womb and the doctor said it's a boy and Lean On Me is not a ballad. And so now to find out that it is a ballad, that's what I built my whole life off of. And it's just like, I have exited the cave and I can't go back in. Like, everything is different now.
Yeah, nothing you're will Eve. Ever be the you same. Ate the apple. You're
I've
different.
I've eaten
though.
The apple. I can't go back into the Garden of Eden. I know good from evil. I don't get it anymore.
But also, you do get it. You get it.
But
too
also,
much.
I get it. I get it more than I ever have.
Yeah.
So those are my thoughts on Lean On Me.
We got really existential in that. I like to hear it.
I truly don't have many thoughts about this number.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sweet. I feel like Lean On Me is what they wanted Keep Holding On to be, but like far more literal, you know? So I appreciated that. Also,
honestly, if I had a note.
Yeah.
I had a note about Lean On Me. Mm-hmm. It's that not enough people screamed directly into Quinn's face while she was crying.
Yeah, totally.
I think it could be improved.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone full belted 6 inches from her face while she openly sobbed.
Openly sobbed. Okay, so let's talk about the rest of the episode.
Wait, really fast.
What's up?
During the Call Me section on Lean On Me, they cut, this is so stupid, but they cut to Kurt and he's doing a Call Me symbol at Finn. He's doing it wrong.
You don't do
what
like
is that? He's doing.
I
no,
have
it's
always.
Your thumb.
I
it's
have
a hang
always
loose.
Done this. Always.
All right. How many
always.
Of my core truths are going to be ripped out from under me today?
I have always. So people who
I
aren't on
thought
FaceTime
call me
with
had
us,
to be hang loose.
So people who aren't on FaceTime with us, we just had a whole conversation with hand gestures. So Ian is saying that the only way to do the phone is to do the thumb and the pinky.
To
and
do
I
hang
have,
loose.
I have always done the rock on to do the phone. Always.
No, that's not what a phone looks like. How
phones
curved
don't look
is it?
Like
curved,
that. Phones look like this.
How curved.
I'm doing
and,
flat hand.
Well, you're talking about a smartphone. I'm talking about.
What phones
we're
do
in
you
the
own?
90s. If a hang loose
we're in Lima,
is the
Ohio,
correct
so it's
length.
Babies.
It is
oh
the correct
God.
Length, and it resembles the curvature of a phone.
I'm not here
rock
to debate
on
with you.
It's too deep. It is too deep of a curve.
You're doing
no
this.
No phone.
I'm doing this.
It's too deep of a curve still. That doesn't
look at
matter.
That. No, I'm going right from my...
Look at this. This looks better. Hang loose looks better. It looks like you're talking on a Bluetooth.
This conversation is probably not fun to listen to because we're literally doing hand gestures.
I don't care. I conceded that you were right about Lean On Me being a ballad.
No, and I
cannot concede on Call Me being rock on and not hang loose.
Jeez Louise.
It is too much.
Okay.
It is too much
Hear
for my
out.
Heart to take in one day. Anyways, so Kurt does apparently the acceptable way to do Call Me, and I, once again, have been blind for 25 years and
have
no
I'm sure
no
I have
idea.
Done this around you, too.
Weird. I don't tend to take stock of the hand gestures people do when they do Call Me. Only when it is in a tight close-up does
sure,
it click in my mind.
Sure. You know what bugged me in that number, actually? So they have the jazz band in there, right? Because the jazz band is like, they're like honorary members of...
mm-hmm.
Honorary. You get so intense when you have something to say, but you don't want to
interrupt
me.
Because I remembered, and I think you might be saying the same thing, and I'm excited.
They're not... playing the instruments. So they're all they
That's
have
not
like
what I was gonna say.
Oh, really? They have brass instruments. They have so a guy with a the trombone. And literally in the song, they're not like, it's not a horn section, and the guy's just going wah, 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 like freaking like he's a music man or something. It's baloney. What were you gonna say? You got very intense.
Why on earth does every woman in that jazz band dress like William Schuster? They're all wearing
I didn't notice that at white all.
Button ups with wool sweater vests over them.
It's
just
their
the women.
Uniform.
But it's just the women. That's and the funny. Men are wearing like whatever they had on. It straight up looks like Will Schuster dressed them himself in his
own. He probably
own image.
Did. He's standing with them like he's somehow, he's like, he's even conducting them. It's very bothersome to me.
Oh, Will,
like, who gave them the authority?
Anyways. Those are the musical numbers.
Those are musical numbers. I have an immediate thought about this episode that I need to get off my chest now. So, our dear boy, Matt, played by Dijon, is not in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the sense that this episode, like, he's not gone from this episode because he had, like, a prior engagement. I get the feeling that he got cut from this episode so that, for narrative purposes, so Will could sing with Rachel. And I just, I love to hear it. I love some drama, but the fact that Matt gets the short end of the stick again, and all he wants is to, like, be a bigger part in this show, it makes me so sad.
Yeah, no, it's, there is not a chance that Dijon Talton had a prior engagement.
No way!
It was for this plotline specifically.
Yeah, and that makes
me
sad.
My biggest complaint is he's gone for a full week. Could they not have come up with a better excuse than that he had a spider in his ear?
I know, literally, I was like, a spider in your ear getting you out of school for a week?
Does that take you out for a week?
Give me a spider.
Seriously, someone put a spider in my ear if
literally.
I could miss school for a week. My gosh.
I know. Poor Dijon Talton.
Yeah, poor Dijon. He truly, they didn't care about him.
I know, they don't. That's my immediate thought. I just needed to put that out there. And get mad.
When they pull names from the hat, mm-hmm. which I will say, pulling partners from a hat is inherently flawed unless you only put half the names in there. Because after everyone pulls a name from the hat, you then have to sort through the hat and pull their name out so that they don't get picked again. But
maybe
besides
they were doing
that's possible and it was just cut. But Artie pulls Quinn's name, and I want to see that.
I was thinking
I
the
see
same
some
thing.
Quinn and Artie.
Like, somehow.
That'd be so interesting.
In my mind, that pairing would be awesome. Especially, like, season one Artie, season one Quinn. I would love to see them hang out.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
All right, let's talk about, let's pick a couple and go. Mercedes and Puck, go.
Okay, let's talk about Mercedes. Mercedes in this episode, God love her. So Puck reveals to Mercedes that he is the father of Quinn's baby. And
the baby daddy.
She, without missing a beat, puts him in his place. And she's like, you might be the father of this kid, but you, Quinn did not choose you to help to, like, be there for her. So you need to respect that. And I said, Mercedes, I love you so much. I've been saying this for weeks. I told, like, without even missing a beat, too, she was like, No, you're not. And I loved that. I loved that so much. Because, like, the way Puck acts like, I don't know. I've never been teen pregnant. I've never had to, like, deal with that kind of drama before, so obviously I'm sure it's different in the, like, when you're in it, but, like, I think there is some truth to that, and we've talked about it before, that, like, Quinn chose Finn in this moment, and she obviously is, like, lying to Finn, and that's terrible, but also the way that Puck acts like he has, like, some sort of entitlement over and, like, ownership over Quinn, not only just this kid, but also Quinn, sucks. Meh. Ooh, she also calls all of this Babygate, and I love that.
I literally was watching that. I was like, what would we call scandals if Watergate hadn't happened?
I know, literally. Because
everything is blank gate.
Yeah, literally.
here are my thoughts.
What are your thoughts?
Here are my thoughts on that.
Okay, I'm ready.
If Mercedes, what am I trying to say?
What are you trying to say?
If Mercedes thinks that Finn knows that he is not the father and he has agreed to support Quinn, I support what she said.
Yes.
We have absolutely no evidence that she thinks that because it's not true. Finn thinks that he's the father, and so naturally Mercedes thinks that he's the father. So I take big issue with what she says to Puck.
Really?
That she, that because Mercedes is like, Quinn chose to have Finn be the father. You don't get to choose to throw that on someone who has no responsibility.
Certainly.
Over it.
Oh, that's
I
so
understand.
Terrible.
I understand Mercedes saying like, Quinn set boundaries with you and she doesn't want you, blah, 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 blah. But for her to be like, Quinn chose Finn and we all just have to respect that. But you just found out that Finn's not the father. That's so, like, it bothers me that Mercedes is totally fine with that. She doesn't even blink her eye at the fact that, like, this kid is now going to, like, his whole life is about to be affected by something that he has absolutely nothing to be with, to do with, and he's being tricked into it.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree with that.
And the writers,
the way
like,
that Quinn is doing that is totally inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, it bothers me that the writers expect us to, like, be like, heck yeah, Mercedes, you tell it like it is, and I'm like, no, but that's wrong. And I don't like it's not addressed at all, and it bothers me.
And I think, I hope, I have faith that it will be addressed. Because we know as people who operate in this world that, like, what Quinn is doing to Finn, that's life-ruining. That's life-ruining. And that will blow up in their face.
Yeah.
We know that. We know that. And that, you know, and you're right. I don't know if, I don't remember if Mercedes.
She doesn't. I was just thinking in a future episode.
Yeah.
We find out that without a doubt, Mercedes knows that Finn thinks he is the father.
Yeah. I'll never say that what I think, I'll never say what I, like that Quinn is doing the correct thing here. I'm never going to say that. But also, Puck is a terrible person and he acts very possessive over Quinn. And, like, that bugs me.
Yeah. I do have the thought process that he is actively trying to support the baby. And so that does give me pause. I'm not saying that she, like, so she should get together with him or even that he should have custody or anything.
Yeah.
But it is, like, it is biologically his kid. And he is making an effort and, like, paying, like, trying to pay bills and doing all this stuff to try. It's not like he's a dead, like, he is a deadbeat as a person, but he's showing that he's not going to be a deadbeat dad.
Sure.
And so part of me is like, it is biologically his kid and he is actively trying to support it and it actively is trying to pitch in. So I think he should get some say. But also he's Puck and like he does suck as a person. So I also can't fault Quinn for being like, I know that you're trying to show that you're going to do all these things, but everything you've done up into to this point in your life has proved otherwise.
Yeah.
So I don't have, I have conflicting feelings.
Sure.
That part
and
of me
I
is
also,
like,
I totally agree. And also it's hard to speculate about children that are going to be raised by minors, you know, like, because in the real world, I have, my stepbrother is a teen parent. All of that stuff was taken care of by parents, you know? And obviously we learn in this episode that Quinn is very uncomfortable telling her parents because, well, for good reason, because they end up kicking her out. But the shit is complicated. Even in real life, this is really complicated stuff. And so I guess I agree with you and I'm sure I can see how a 16-year-old kid feeling, I don't know, all of this is really crazy. I couldn't even imagine going through it.
Yeah, it's just like they're all in the wrong.
They are. None of them are good people. And you
the
know
only
what?
Person...
That makes for good TV.
True, true, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, there's this, that's truly the only scene that Puck and Mercedes have in the entire episode.
I know.
So.
I think it's the first scene they've had together so far.
I think it is too. I think it's the first conversation they've had.
Okay.
Oh, but while we're talking about Mercedes, when she leads Finn in to watch Lean on Me, when she's like, we have a surprise, something we've been working on, blah, blah, blah. And they walk into the choir room and Finn asks, are we there yet? And Mercedes says, uncover your eyes. I didn't tell you to cover your eyes.
I love that. Is this the moment to talk about Finn in this episode?
Do it!
Okay. I hate to be this bitch again and again and again. I love Finn Hudson! The way I am in love with this man is absolutely terrible. So, this episode, he gets some of the funniest lines he has ever said. So, just to name a few, let's talk about the scene with Kurt in the basement. Maybe one of my favorite scenes in this entire episode. It's so special. It is so special. Like, the moment where, like, Kurt is opening up to Finn and being like talking about how he would like just like smell his mom's perfume because he misses his mom who passed away so bad. And he's like, maybe that's dumb. And then Finn goes, that's not dumb. Like, that's not stupid. And like, oh, my heart. I love this man. And then Kurt talks about how, well, Finn is saying things like, I wish I, like, my dad was so brave. I can't even, my dad was, like, brave enough to, like, put his life on the line and, like, go into battle. And I can't even go over to the Febreze to tell them that Quinn is pregnant, which, like, he shouldn't be doing that. And then Kurt goes, well, he wasn't, like, he didn't go in unarmed. I think you should go in prepared. And then Finn goes, you think I should bring a gun? Literally, I love this man. I love this man. I love him. Oh my gosh. And then when he calls Kurt on the phone in the bathroom, when he may be my favorite scene in Glee to date. I'm gonna say it. And when he's like, so he calls Kurt on the phone and he's like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Lena, I have a question.
What's your question?
What hand gesture are you doing right now to represent the phone that he's calling on?
It's this hand. When I do this hand, I don't want to get into this.
You let the record show, Lena just did a hang loose to mime.
Yeah, because
Finn
of people like
Kurt.
You who stifle my freedom. You and I are going to physically fight one day. No, I don't know. I've always done this. I have been pushed into doing this.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was they're trying to make you conform.
Yeah. And you know what? Okay. They succeeded. So,
I
way to bring up a wound. Way to bring
you,
up a wound.
Hey, do your rock on. Do your rock on hands. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
I'm going to hang up on you.
Also,
finish
talking about the bathroom scene.
Maybe. Okay, so the bathroom scene. My favorite scene. Way to interrupt my train. So they just talk on the phone, and he's like, what do I do? What do I do? And Kurt's like, you gotta sing. And then he goes, okay, I gotta go. They're gonna think I'm pooping. That's everything. That is everything. You've been in the bathroom doing that before, where you're like, I can't take too much time in here. They're gonna think I'm pooping. I've done that. Have you done that?
Yeah, no.
Okay, good.
I have panic attacks in bathrooms. All the time.
Me too.
That's my MO. If you're at a party that I'm at and you can't find me, I'm probably having a panic attack in the bathroom.
Or pooping. I'm going to tell people that you're pooping. Anyway, amazing. I love Finn in this episode. I love Finn in every episode. I don't know why I'm specifying this episode.
Why it's a surprise.
It's not surprising. We're 10 episodes in. Every episode I'm like, I love Finn! I am Finn's number one fan. Can't help it.
Talking about Finn and Kurt, I am glad that they kind of abandoned the Kurt being in love with Finn plotline after a little bit, you know?
Okay.
It, like,
in this episode?
It does make for interesting. No. It goes on for future episodes.
Oh, okay.
But,
like
over
the
course of the series.
They goes, call me.
No. But just, it does make for interesting dynamics, and it does have, like, there are funny moments, but for the only gay character to be
like a
predatorily
gay.
In
yeah.
love with his, yeah, to be a predatory gay.
Yeah.
It just enforces a stereotype of like, all your gay friends are actually in love with you.
I totally agree.
And they're trying
agree.
To turn you.
I
and
totally
so,
agree.
While it, like, while I'm not going to be like, I hated the storyline, because, like, I laughed and, like, it does make interesting dynamics and all that stuff, but it is like, let's have the one gay character maybe, like, do some other stuff besides be secretly in love with his straight friend and be trying to turn his straight friend
totally
gay.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, also on the other hand, Kurt is like 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
It is that thing where we're like, these characters are so young that like they like, would do this
Rachel
kind of thing.
Falling
like
in love with her teacher. Yeah. Of course yeah. Kurt is falling in love with the only guy who's ever been nice to him. Of course that's happening. Yeah. This all is very normal. Just because it's normal doesn't make it okay. It does perpetuate a stereotype that is like really very damaging, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that like makes especially straight guys very weird around gay guys, and it makes them seem like predatory and gross and terrible.
Well, I just had so many friends in high school that were like, bear in mind, I grew up in Arizona and this was also like 10 years ago, but were like so grossed out, scared of gay people specifically for that reason.
Yeah, totally.
Because they were like, just like, they're going to fall in love with me and they're going to like try and essentially like rape me. And I was like, what on earth?
Like, where
I was
are you
like, what
at?
Is that saying? What is that saying about yourself? Like, is that how you feel with every girl you're around?
Yeah.
That you're like, I'm in love with you and I straight up am going to throw myself onto you whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have seen the people who think that way. And so I didn't love an episode that kind of like perpetuated that thought process.
Yeah, totally.
But I still love Kurt.
Love
and
Kurt.
Finn honestly handles it really well. When
he does.
When Finn is like, what song are you going to sing? And Kurt says, I honestly love you. And then Finn goes, oh, that seems cool. Like, that seems like a really cool, positive song. And I was like, oh, Finn.
Sweetheart.
You sweetie. Just trying so hard to, like, be nice but not lead him on.
You know what was weird about one of their interactions? So at the beginning, when Kurt is like talking to Finn about the assignment, Finn has a freak out and he's like, I can't sing to a guy, man. People keep pushing me to be something I don't want to be. I was like, geez, Finn, geez.
No,
you can't sing
I
a song.
The same thing.
It's like, what a weirdo.
He's like, tone it down. I understand that other things in your life are stressful and you're lashing out like Kurt says, but like, let's take a seat.
Like, come on, buddy.
All right. Who's our next? Who's our next pair? We already talked about Rachel and Will a lot. Do you have any
we
other?
We did. No.
Oh, wait. I have other thoughts. It is hysterical that Rachel shows up to the Schuster's house.
I know.
And is clearly like gunning for Will, in love with him. And Terry, instead of sending her away, exploits her feelings and makes her do all the housework.
Oh my God.
It is so funny.
This is
oh
the first time we've
gosh.
Seen Terry in like.
I know.
Since she yelled at Emma. Since she yelled at Emma.
Yeah, and I have missed her dearly.
Me
when
too.
She picks up when Susie Pepper calls on the phone. And then Terry picks it up and she goes, listen, you little psycho, this is Will's wife. If I don't get enough sleep, my antidepressants won't work, and then I'll go crazy and I'll kill you.
And the way she turns her murdering her into her fault, I'm like,
seriously?
I love it. This woman is my everything.
Terry is so, so funny in this
I
episode.
I love Terry.
So
she needs
great.
To be, I'm pissed as freak she hasn't been in all the episodes.
I know.
She is everything to me. She is everything
also,
to me.
Just another pointing out of the writers just pulling stuff out of their butt and like having no consistency with these characters. Literally last week in Wheels, Will says, let's do a bake sale. And Rachel says that she cannot participate in a bake sale because she doesn't know how to cook because her dads and her live on a steady diet
of
takeout.
Takeout.
And then a week later,
she
is cooking for the
venison?
Schusters. Yeah, and straight up, it's not like she makes venison and she butchers it. Terry mentions how good a cook she is. Come on, writers. Keep a show Bible. Like, have some sort. They just truly... However the characters need to work for the story that week, that's how they act that week.
I don't understand. And it's always like the small, like those weird mistakes that like no one is talking about, but also, I don't know. That's just like how,
well,
it's just like a great example of how lazy they are.
It's evidence of a larger problem.
Yeah, exactly. and it's going to get worse.
The fact that they can't remember these small details that they established the week before, like, yeah, it's not a huge deal that Rachel couldn't cook and now she can.
Yeah.
But it is foreshadowing of very large character issues that will happen. Certainly. Where characters just, like, consistently act out of character or consistently conveniently forget lessons that they have already learned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hate to see it. And it's, and like it, I think it's the same problem of like not having the actors say Fabre versus Fabre. Mm-hmm. Like no one is sitting people down being like, this is the show. Like I think some of the best shows ever, have like very clear,
very clear world, like mm-hmm. very clear rules.
Like, let's think about like The Good Place. Like, The Good Place has a very clear start, a very clear end, and a very clear like rules to the story and very clear character development. Like, the writers are very like particular about the shit that goes into their show, you know? And mm-hmm. The Glee, you can tell that it's written weekly. They're not thinking about an overall arc to any of this, you know? It sucks.
Yeah. But that Terry scene is so funny. I love Terry.
I love Terry. The way that Rachel, like, is so in love with Will that she is willing to do Terry's housework.
I know.
What a bitch. I love her.
Leah Michelle is so funny in this
She's
episode.
She's so funny in this episode.
She is so intense. I love it. And then we got Rachel and Susie Pepper as our final couple.
Yeah. So Rachel and Susie Pepper. So Dr. Kepner from Grey's Anatomy. I laugh at myself every time I say that. I don't think anyone is going to think that's as funny as I think it is. I literally, in my notes, I keep calling her April. So, what are your thoughts? Tell me.
I don't have any thoughts. I have an anecdote.
Tell me your anecdote. Really dumb, is it about Grey's Anatomy?
No, it's not. I know next to nothing about Grey's Anatomy. I know that Katherine Heigl has sex with the ghost of her boyfriend.
That's a big spoiler. It's not.
Ah! Spoilers for Grey's Anatomy. I don't know.
It's like season 3 out of 16, so 17.
Anyways, my Susie Pepper anecdote is that Susie Pepper gets so sad that she eats an incredibly spicy pepper and goes to the hospital. And watching that reminded me that in high school, I went to the mall with some of my friends, and they had just opened a pepper store, which, like, why would there be a pepper
Arizona
store?
Arizona is madness.
Right?
These Southwest weird bitches.
Literally, in The Good Place, the TV show that we mentioned earlier, one of the characters is from Arizona, and they make fun of Arizona all the time. And someone asked the writer why he chose to make her from Arizona, and he said, because Arizona is the Florida of the Southwest.
Certainly.
But anyways, we were in the pepper store, and they just sell different kinds of peppers. And they were selling a ghost pepper, mm-hmm. which is like one of the spiciest peppers on earth.
Yeah.
And it was so spicy that legally they could not sell it to you unless you were over 18. And we were all juniors in high school, or right, like sophomores in high right school or something. But we were with some other people who were seniors, and my friend John really wanted to eat the ghost pepper.
Oof.
So he had our 18-year-old, one of the seniors who was 18, go in and buy it. And then he ate it, and like, you guys, it was so bad.
Really?
We went to the food court. There was a Johnny Rockets in the food court, and we explained the situation to the counter people, and they were like, oh my gosh, are you serious? So they kept giving us endless supplies of milk, and he would, because water makes the spice worse. Yeah. So he would drink the milk, but it would become too spicy to swallow.
Yeah.
So he would gargle the milk, and then he would have two cups, and he would spit it into the other cup, and then drink some more, gargle it, and spit it. And he had...
Why didn't he just drink it? Was he lactose intolerant? Me too.
Because it would get too spicy. Because he would put the milk in his mouth, and it would get spicy from the remnants of the pepper. So he would just gargle it and spit it out.
Oh my God.
And he had snot and tears streaming down his face.
Did you
nonstop
piss
he
yourself could not, laughing?
Yeah, we were there for like an hour and a half. Oh. And we truly, our poor friend, his face is red. He's in so much pain, he cannot talk. And we are mercilessly making fun of him the entire time.
Good. That's so funny. I swear to God, yeah. I watch many Like, I watch Red and Link videos all the time, and especially the ones where they eat gross stuff / spicy stuff. Those are my favorite ones.
Yeah, no, peppers will jack you up. Susie yeah. Pepper was not messing around.
She had to get her esophagus.
An esophagus transplant.
Yeah,
one time when I was a baby, I ate a pepper in a Mexican restaurant, mm-hmm. and the entire wait staff lost their mind because it was so spicy. It was like in a salsa, and I think it burnt my lip. It was so spicy.
Really?
It was like there were salsas on the table. Mm-hmm. My parents were very clear that they were like, this is the salsa you can eat, this one you cannot. And then they weren't paying attention, and I was like, blah, 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 and ate the wrong
one. How old were you?
And, I mean, old enough to reach salsa, probably like 5.
Oh,
and
God.
And the waiters, like, lost their mind. I was screaming. They were bringing out, like, tortillas, bananas, like, anything to try and help me. It was ugly. It was real bad.
on the other side of that coin, have you ever given a baby a lemon?
No.
Really?
No.
Google that right now. It's so precious.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go. Isn't it so sweet? Or when you give a baby salt and vinegar chips, they're just like, it's like too much for their little mouths to handle.
It like also makes me kind of sad though.
Why?
Because like, if
you're okay. No. Your dad literally cut your tongue with kitchen scissors. They can handle some lemon.
Have I told you that?
Of course you have. You and I spent absolutely every day together for a year once.
Okay, disclaimer for everyone. My dad is a doctor, and I was born tongue-tied, which is when,
tongue-tied.
Do you love how I picked my own key? I completely ignored the one you were singing in. So tongue-tied is when your tongue is too connected to the bottom of your mouth. Like the little, I don't know what to call it, but like the sinew.
The underside of your tongue.
Yeah, it's too far forward. Uh-huh. So you can't lift up your tongue and it can cause like severe speech impediments. Mm-hmm. So when a baby is tongue-tied, the doctors will just cut the tongue.
Yeah.
They will cut it to a reasonable length so that the baby, when they're older, can talk. And of course, like, it hurts, but it's better than the alternative. But anyways, the doctor was like, your baby's tongue-tied. You will have to come in, and like, the doctors will have to do perform the whatever surgery on him and blah, blah, blah. And it was going to cost all this money. Mm-hmm. And my dad was like, we're not spending all this money to do something that we could easily just do ourselves. And my mom was like, heck no, we are taking him into the doctor. And so without telling my mom, my dad just took some scissors and cut my tongue himself. And I mean, it was free and it worked. I could talk, so respect to you, Ted.
And you don't remember
you
that.
You did it. And I don't remember it. It didn't scar me at all, so we're fine.
Yeah.
All right.
We're not condoning, you know, hurting your child, obviously.
Let's remember, my dad is a doctor.
Is a doctor.
So he
knew how it
was supposed to be done, and he was just like, I'll do it myself for free instead of paying another doctor
He's
to
like,
do it.
He's like, I did 3 of these in my residency. You know who else did those in her residency? April Kepner from Grey's Anatomy.
Susie Pepper. We brought it back.
I don't have
any other thoughts about Ballad except that Sue does not make an appearance. And that Will says, who knows what a ballad is? Brittany says, it's a male duck. And then when he gets out the hat that has the names in it, she whispers to Santana, I bet the duck's in the hat.
I love that bit.
Very good.
Oh my God. Let me go over my notes. Quinn's dad watches Glenn Beck.
Oh my gosh, when he said Judy Glenn Beck is on, a flashback. Glenn Beck is Arizona's patron saint. Every time that I was driven by someone who wasn't my parents growing up, it was Glenn Beck playing in the car.
Yeah, literally.
Like, I come from this angry man.
Right. I remember getting in the car with my dad as a kid and him listening to what I know now is Glenn Beck, but at the time I was like, this angry man, just like screaming about Obama. What? I didn't know anything about it.
I didn't know anything he was talking about. No. I didn't know that he was like into politics. I was always just like, this man is very angry.
Yeah.
I have Kurt thoughts.
Let's One, talk about Kurt.
They're all superficial.
Okay.
One, when he calls Finn in the bathroom, he puts his iron directly down onto his clothes. Let's go of
it. He would never.
Yeah.
Kurt would
never. I don't
never.
Buy that. Mm-mm. He knows better. Two,
he does.
Since when can Kurt play the piano? That's never brought
I know.
Up again.
And also...
And three, why is Kurt back on the football team?
What?
He was on the football team, and then they forgot.
Yeah, I remember.
And then episodes later, they announced that he had resigned from the football team
yes.
off screen.
What happened in this episode?
And then Kurt has, it's either Kurt or Finn, has the monologue about how they've bonded over stuff. And one of the things they mention is football. And it cuts to Kurt and Finn in the locker room when Kurt gives Finn the skincare for his T-zone.
I thought that meant that was months ago.
It
like, these
be.
Are the things that have bonded them together.
That is very possible.
Like, the one time that Puck pushed him, we assume was a long time
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was the first time they interacted. And then they joined Glee together. And then they were on the football team together. I didn't think meant that happened this episode. I think he was just reminiscing about all the times that they've connected.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't like that they completely abandoned that storyline and then ended it off screen, and then now they're trying to mine it for scenes.
And I
like,
totally
well maybe you should have done that when he was actually on the team.
And that's a great example of these writers being just non-communicative and lazy, you know.
Right, what are your parting thoughts?
My parting thoughts, I think, are I'm just thinking about how Quinn's parents kicked her out, and it just makes me so sad. You know, like, that was such a sad moment. And, like, Quinn especially knew. And Quinn expressed to Finn that, like, her home was not safe for that. You know? Like, you know, and Quinn tells them that she's like, I made a mistake. I knew, like, and she knew they would react this way. And it's just so sad to see. And the way that Carol, Finn's mom, is like, you can stay here for as long as you need. Like, ah, my God. You know, it's amazing.
I love a good parent on a teen drama.
Me too.
Because so frequently, these type of shows have bad parents to,
or
like, mine
stupid
content
parents.
Out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it does make for, like, interesting TV when, like, they're bad parents.
Yeah.
I just love a good Bert and a good Carol who are just like, but here's parents who are, like, what parents should be.
Exactly. I really love to see it. And I just love that this episode, you know, it got into those moments, like, you know, with that big speech that Quinn has, and it had that, like, those mood swings that were so good. Like, it was so funny. I laughed out loud so much, but also, like, it was very touching. And I think it just, what a great balance of an episode. I really love this episode. I think that's my parting thoughts.
Yay, Ballard!
Yay, Ballard! Mallard.
Yay, that's a season wrap on episode 10, Balance.
Balance. All right,
good old
Ian,
balance.
What was your best part, worst part? You can go first.
I usually think of my answer while you're talking. This is so much
I know,
because
I have to think.
My best part is the Fabre couch scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's so well written. It's so well acted.
Yep.
It makes me very uncomfortable in the best way.
Yeah.
What was your best part?
I think my best part is Finn and Kurt, and Finn being like, just like confiding in Kurt so much, and then getting concerned that the Fabres are going to think he's pooping. I love him. I really do. I love that boy. Okay, what was your worst part, Ian?
Oh my gosh. What was my worst part? Temptation. I started singing that song because it was on my head, but you know what? It is.
Yep.
My worst part was the Will Schuster mashup.
Yep.
He chose terrible songs. I just also don't like him. So,
yep.
Ba-bing! Frustration, so bad it makes him cry. What was your worst part?
Not much. I loved this episode. But I think I agree, just Schuster being a bitch. In all moments of this episode. Not all moments, but...
Hey,
nothing. No, I know. I'm kidding. I just love to bully him.
Second half of the episode, I think he does a good job.
But
first
even
half
still,
of the episode, bad
he's a misogynist.
Job.
Yeah, no. I just think...
We talked about it pretty in depth. Just Will. Jeez. And that mashup he did is a bad choice. So I think I agree. And that's the worst part. All right. Cool beans.
I also just hate the concept that, like, women can't help themselves around Will.
I know.
That literally, like, Emma came to the mashup and got so horny that she forgot the reason she was there.
Literally. And also, like, I hated that so much because not 3 episodes ago, they had a conversation that was like, we have to be more professional. And then there he is, like, going to her office asking for, like, advice. And she's like, well, it makes sense. Everyone has crushes on you. Jeez a whiz.
You know, he's just too sexy. Can't help herself.
Yep.
What can I say?
What can you say? All right. Well, that's the end of ballads. Ballad. Ballads.
Ballads.
Okay.
All right. Hit us up on, I'm not going to say hit us up. I'm going to cut that out. That sounds stupid.
I'll say it.
You can find us on the social media.
Medias.
We're on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on Twitter at recoveringgleek. We'll put up some type of Twitter poll. I don't know what it will be. Check in to find out. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We would love it so much. We would cry tears of joy forever.
Yeah, we'll be personally indebted to you for all time if you leave us a good review.
We will become your indentured servants if you do that. That is in our contract.
Yep, literally. So, you signed it. When you turned on this podcast, you signed that contract. Thank you so much.
You should have read the fine print.
Should have.
I mean,
our lawyers
we're the ones
contact.
Who are slaves,
Wait.
But still.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome.
Anyways.
Well, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being cool.
Go spread some glee.
I hope you spread all the glee this week. I hope you stay safe in this crazy time.
That all the glee is spread by you.
I hope all your friends, when they are around you, feel glee. But wait, you shouldn't be hanging out with friends. It's a pandemic.
I hope that all of your friends feel socially distant glee. That through your Zoom classes, all the other students on their Zoom classes feel some glee.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
I hope your parents and your siblings and your roommates and whoever you live with feel glee from being near you.
Keep going.
I hope that the glee is so strong that everyone in the world feels the glee.
I hope you're walking in the Smiths, getting your groceries and the peppers. They feel your glee.
Your reference to Smiths was really specific because it only exists in Utah.
Wait,
but I hope that
not have Smiths?
If you're in any other grocery store, you still feel glee.
It's like Kroger in other places, right? Wow, I'm never moving out of Utah. That's a lie.
I don't know. I just know that in Arizona, we did not have a Smith's.
Did you have a Kroger?
I've never. No. We had AJ's is the local grocery store in Arizona.
Never heard of it.
Well, spread some glee, everyone. Bye.
Yeah, love you. Bye. See you later.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.